Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I haven't said it in years, but for a long time, when I would bring that word up, like if it would come up in conversation, instead of saying the N-word, I would just say the word. I never used it to be racist because I'm not racist. But whenever you're in a situation where you have to say, I'm not racist, you f***ed up.
Another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, the legendary one alongside me, Jason Portwando, at it again.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, UFC fame, now turned podcaster on Spotify, $100 million deal.
Right.
And off the top, played his apology clip multiple times over the 12 or so years of his show using the N-word, but he didn't use the phrase N-word. He actually said it. So now retracting, trying to make amends, and it's just turned a lot of things upside down.
You know what? Well, good to see you again, Jason.
Well, eventually we can start a show with a proper greeting.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Didn't realize every week it would be some type of racially insensitive content that we'd start with. So it's hard to say, hey, Donovan, how are you?
We're going to start a show with all good news.
Okay.
And the world is going to be perfect at some point. At some point, I think that we're going to live in a utopia.
Is that going to be in our lifetime, though?
Let's be optimistic.
Okay.
Let's hope that we're going to do that. So you know what? One of the things I appreciate and respect about the apology is that he's saying that if he ever has to say to someone that he is not racist or he has to apologize for that, then he effed up. And he did. I mean, he did. I still don't understand. I mean, again, you mentioned Jason, Rogan of Spotify or podcast fame, huge contract, stand-up comic, UFC announcer, massive following, very influential. The use of the word, I still don't really understand because again, maybe it's from being from Jamaica. This word was never used in my house. I actually don't know anybody. I don't know a black person nor a white person or whatever that this word is just, it's so smooth and it comes out, in everyday language. I don't ever really understand that. And I think that one of the lessons that we're learning here, certainly Joe is learning, is that if you're speaking or describing a racialized community, this being a black community, his responsibility is never to represent them, but to maybe use the N-word next time. No, right. or you say the N-word as opposed to using. That's the lesson you're learning, is that you cannot represent a racialized community if you don't belong to it.
During his podcast, many times he's had various comedians on there, and they've used the word,
right?
They being black people. So, right. You know, where do you draw the line? Because that is the problem with many people. They say, well, black people use it, and it's okay for them to use it when talking about one another, because it has various forms of the meaning of the N-word, right? So my issue is, I don't think anybody should be using it to begin with, right?
I agree 100%.
But the thing is, obviously, when people that aren't black are using it, usually it's in a derogatory manner.
Usually, yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So Joe's trying to say, okay, yes, I said the word instead of saying N-word, but I was not using it in a bad way.
You know what? When I look at it, I mean, to your point, when I look at it, if someone were to ask me an independent question about whether I believe that Joe Rogan is a racist, my answer probably would be that he's not.
Right.
Right. I know, I met the man. I know that he is also very good friends with, I mean, Russell Peters, Dave Chappelle. I mean, and remember also that comedy is art. Right. I don't believe that he's a racist. I also don't believe that he should get canceled. But I think that this should be an incredible learning moment, for him and for all of us as to what it is that you should do when you're talking about something this delicate, something this sensitive, something that means, you know, so much, and it's created such immense pain in black society and in the black community. So I think that this has to be an incredible learning moment. Obviously he can apologize, he can say what he's got to do, but this has to be an incredible learning moment.
Spotify has already come out and said, no, they're not getting rid of him. There's a lot of money on the table here, $100 million.
Jason, Spotify said they're not going to get rid of Joe Rogan. Rumble, another streaming service, just offered him another $100 million if Spotify let him go. So at the end of the day, one, Rogan's not going anywhere. And if he left Spotify, one, he's got another $100 million contract waiting for him, like, immediately.
The divide that has come out of this, we're seeing Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, artists like that. India Arie has pulled her stuff off Spotify.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Others, though, coming to his defense.
Right.
I think a Jon Stewart, a few others, Whitney Cummings, I do believe, another comedian that came to his defense.
Yeah.
And then you got The Rock saying, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. So, again, there's the divide. I mean, it's not one concrete answer. Some are saying, no, it's okay. Some are saying, well, no, it's not okay.
I think it's very important for everyone to be educated about what this is. The problem that we've had all along is that, even now, the problem we have, even with media, everyone has this opportunity just to pipe up without any education at all. My responsibility with my platform is always at least to read, and to see, to understand, to talk to the people that are experts. So if I get out and I'm piping off about something, at least I know what's going on. And I believe that Rogan's learning, certainly learning a lesson, and clearly he's speaking to the right people. And he's not going anywhere, people. he's not going anywhere. So ultimately, for those who are incredible fans, continue to listen to him. Clearly he's an influence. In society, this massive following, and we really need to learn and move on.
Controversy sells, right? Whether you're for it or not, controversy sells. And it's not just about this use of the N-word
right.
or Joe Rogan. There's also been misinformation in terms of coronavirus, right. And he's been very, loud
right.
about his stand on
right.
whether or not this thing is an actual issue.
Well, listen, I mean, we live in a world where there's a ton of conspiracy theorists all over the world. And fortunately, again, when I speak to people, my responsibility is to let you know is that you need to educate yourself. I am someone that will watch CBC, BBC, CNN, and Fox all on the same day on the same topic and see how they all report on it. We see what the what the narrative is. And we see what agenda someone has and what the narrative they're trying to pitch. And ultimately, that's really what it is. And the only thing I can say is go to the source, go to the places that you're going to learn exactly what real information is, and then you decide.
I'm not sure what the appropriate action should be. I mean, Spotify has since pulled some of his material off of their podcasts.
Right.
But I think the key is, like you said, learning.
Do you think he should get canceled?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think he should get canceled.
Right.
Because the way he used the word
right.
wasn't in a derogatory fashion.
Right.
That's the my word. Opinion.
The
right.
The problem is the word.
For sure.
Yeah.
And again, he was on with various comedians, Red Fox, Richard Pryor, and right. obviously they've used that word a lot.
Well, that's, right? That's part of their stand-up. That's
right.
part of their routine. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think we need to learn from this. I think he has. To me, that was just a little snippet of his apology. It was a lot more extensive.
Right.
He realized what he's done is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like you said, I don't believe Joe Rogan is racist.
So I agree 100%. And my final thought on that.
Okay.
I believe that Joe Rogan, in front of the mic, on Spotify, in front of an audience, being a comedian, and also being a spokesman, commentator for the UFC, will do a hell of a lot more good after this than Joe Rogan gets pulled off Spotify and get put someplace else where the agenda becomes completely different. I think that he can educate and he can do way more good being in the position he's in right now and learning from this.
We're not done. Whoopi Goldberg, also in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons, got suspended from ABC's The View for what she said. Quote, Holocaust, it was not about race.
Right.
It was not about race. It's about man's inhumanity to man. That's
right.
what it's about. And those comments raised a lot of eyebrows and forced her then to have this.
I said something that I feel a responsibility for not leaving unexamined because my words upset so many people, which was never my intention. And I understand why now. Words matter and mine are no exception. I regret my comments, as I said, and I stand corrected.
Issued that apology after right. those words. And good on the girl she's, you know, on the desk with because they jumped right. on her.
Which is good.
Which is what they should do.
It's called a view, isn't it?
Right.
And it's everyone's point of view. Ultimately, Jason, I stand by what I said about Joe Rogan. I'm going to say the exact same thing about Whoopi Goldberg. One, if you don't understand, well, let's qualify this.
Okay.
Number one, you can never ever say that the Holocaust was never about race. I'm saying you can never say that. I'm not Jewish. I've got tons of Jewish friends. But you can never utter those words because ultimately you had the Germans who were trying to take out an entire race of people. So you can't really say that. So again, I don't actually know what Whoopi was trying to say. It's funny. I've sat back and I've thought about this. Was she talking about looking from the lens of a black person? That she didn't, she sees two sets of people fighting each other or whatever. I don't know exactly what she was trying to do. But again, we revisit this. If you're not part of a racialized community, you cannot be an expert. So Whoopi Goldberg basically had no right speaking on behalf of what Jewish people went through. I'm saying to you that I speak a lot about my journey and my journey as a black man might not be the journey that you went through, Jason. Might not be the journey of a couple of our brethren and friends. It's not the same thing, but certainly we can talk about similarities. I will never be able to speak on behalf of a woman. I will never be able to speak on behalf of my Macedonian friends, my Jewish friends, my Polish friends, like whatever it is. And for me, I'm very comfortable with that, which is the reason why I think that I have incredible friends right across the cultural landscape, and I've been able to. I mean, coming from Jamaica, growing up in Oakville, I've been able to have like incredible friends for 30, 40, 50 years, because we sit and we educate, respect, and listen to each other.
Whoopi's punishment, use that word loosely,
mm-hmm.
couple weeks, she was pulled from the show.
Right.
So they did something to make sure that, again, she had a chance to reflect,
right.
educate herself,
mm-hmm.
and maybe realize the wrong that she did, and obviously came out with that apology. Which instance is worse? Her saying what she said about the Holocaust?
Right.
I know they're both wrong, but But I'm just saying, which one is more severe in your opinion?
I think they're both incredibly wrong. I mean, I can't really... Oh, man.
Which one do you think raised more eyebrows?
Well, first of all, they're both people are on incredible stages.
Right.
Right? So, but I'm thinking that, well, I think that from a... I think that Whoopi definitely offended all the Jewish people in the world. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about when you're on that bigger stage, you just cannot mess up, right? And Rogan's been doing this for a while, and what I'm thinking, well, then again, isn't Whoopi? Whoopi's also a comedian, isn't she?
Yeah.
You know,
common denominator, right?
Right. So So again, we're talking about the art, and I believe me, I love comedy in all forms. But I'm saying that I can't answer the question, Jason. I mean, the bottom line is I'm saying that it's both wrong. Both has to be learning moments. Both of these very public figures have to educate themselves as to what they're going to do when speaking on either one of these topics.
Right. Now, just to put a wrap on this, first of all, Rogan. If you listen to the clips, they sound a lot worse than they truly are.
Yeah.
Because they've been edited together. So it's not like he rambled all of those off in a matter of 30 seconds, 45 seconds, whatever.
Always sounds bad.
So in Rogan's defense, you know, didn't use it as, you know, a derogatory statement. Still used it, shouldn't have, but now he knows.
Right.
Whoopi, like you said, looking at it perhaps through the lens of a black person.
Maybe, yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. Not justifying what they said,
right?
But I understand what they said. Still wrong at the end of the day.
Right.
But at least understand why they both said what they said in a way.
Well, I would, if I had an opportunity this minute to interview Whoopi,
right?
I would, like, there'd probably be a deeper conversation I'd have with her, because what I would ask her is, what were you trying to say, right? I mean, because we all know that Whoopi studies practices Judaism, so I would ask her, what were you trying to say? So articulate that, like, forget about all the noise and people being upset at you. Tell me what you were trying to say. With Rogan, it's different. Because, like, you know, Rogan was in conversation about everything. And so that's, that, like, obviously, even on the podcast, it just became normal talk for him, right? But I think Whoopi was trying to say something deeper. And so, you know, that's it. You know, again, learning lessons, man. This is... We live in a time right now where every single thing that you do or say is recorded. So every single human being with a smartphone or whatever is a journalist. So, I mean, people got to be, you know, way more careful and way more educated and you know, surround yourself with those people that you're going to learn from and who's going to allow you to be your better you.
I'm going to give both of them the benefit of the doubt and just say no one's perfect. They said something that was wrong. It all comes down to being, you know, not educated enough at times, misinformed by others. We'll leave it at that.
I agree.
Unfortunate.
I agree.
But hot topic. So, again, we don't like to start the program like this, but sometimes you just got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, if this is what we have to discuss, and clearly you and I see life through our lens also, you know, so again, these might be massive topics, but on this platform, we have to address those topics and bring it and bring our opinions to our audience. So yes, it's imperative that we discuss it. We're not shying away from anything, you know. And we discuss it and we move on.
Controversy, right? That is the world. Controversy.
Apparently, it sells. Buy, people, buy.
There we go. Yes, please buy what we are selling. By the way, what we are selling is Donovan Bailey running things powered by Acast. Jason Portwando alongside, yes, the man, I won't even say the myth, but I will say the legend. There's no myth to you. This There's is no all myth. This is all reality.
I'm all here. All here. Here.
Exactly.
6'1", 225
Yes. All right. All right. Last episode, he was 6'2", so apparently he is lost in age.
I get old. I get old, and I'm shrinking. Yeah. I said just under.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Let's change topics here. Let's talk a little football. We're finally getting a little bit closer. It feels like forever because of that week in between Super Bowl 56. I just need to know from you, before we talk about head coaches, because we need to address that.
It has to, yeah.
Okay, in fact, you know what, let's go there first, and then I'll get your pick.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, Flores goes out there and puts his neck on the line, mm-hmm. suing the NFL. Reminds me a lot of what we saw in terms of Colin Kaepernick as a player, Brian Flores doing the same as a head coach. Yeah. Since then, we're seeing some more movement in mm-hmm. terms of black play callers in terms of being on the sideline, because I know a play caller is usually the quarterback, offensive right. coordinator, whatever the case may be. But now we add to Mike Tomlin, Mike McDaniels, mm-hmm. biracial, his dad is black. He was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, now the head coach of Miami replacing Flores. We add in Lovie Smith,
yeah,
who is now the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Add those names
yeah.
to Robert Saleh, who's in New York with the Jets.
Yeah.
And Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, I guess now Commanders.
I was going to say Commando, but yeah, it's a Commanders.
Yeah,
well, yes.
Yeah, no, no. That's another podcast. Yeah. Now five
yeah.
minority head coaches. So right. we're getting there, but Flores, I mean, geez, that was a monumental decision on his part to make such a move, because chances are, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know if you get back into the league as head coach.
That, you know, that I was going to touch on that, Jason. Here's what's unfortunate sometimes when you have situations like this where someone has to call out something. One, let me qualify this. I'm watching and reading the same information that you are watching and reading, Jason, and the public is. I hope that when all the evidence comes out, Brian definitely is right in all the things that he's doing, and him putting his neck on the line, like you said, it simply means that he might never coach again. It simply means that he might be blackballed. And that's sad. You know, at no point I think that, you know, a league that has 70%+ of its players being black, that there isn't an opportunity for a qualified black coach. I mean, and I say all this because I don't know a black person or a black coach or whatever that just wants a job because it's a job. So anytime I speak off this topic, I want to make sure that everyone understands that you need to give qualified people opportunities to coach, to own, to star in all aspects of the business. So it is sad, Jason. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm hoping for the best. I'm gonna watch and hope the legal process plays itself out. But there is an opportunity here, and obviously we'll watch and I will watch with optimism that Brian has another opportunity to coach, and somehow him and the NFL can come to some sort of agreement. I don't even want to see like this bloodbath publicly. I as an optimist and someone who always believed that sports is such an incredible part of society, like just how society is and should be, I don't want this to be a bloodbath. I want the NFL and him to come to some sort of agreement. They can agree to disagree, they can agree to agree, there's some sort of settlement, and he goes and coaches, because ultimately that's all he wants to do, right? I don't know, but I'm very certain that's all he wants to do. I know that Colin Kaepernick, all he wanted to do was to be a quarterback. Nothing more. He wanted to get behind the line of scrimmage and get the ball. That is it. Unfortunately, I don't think any of these guys want to be martyrs. It's sad, but I'm optimistic. I am going to be optimistic, and I'm going to watch the process and hope for the best.
And the key word, I think it's 11 letters. You can check it. I know you're the linguistic major here, but opportunity.
Right.
Opportunity. For me, that is the key. And no one should be given a job just because of who they are or their race or whatever.
100%.
You've got to earn that title. Doug Peterson getting the job in Jacksonville. I know a lot of people were thinking maybe Byron Leftwich, drafted by the team, working with the team. I get it. Right. Doug Peterson has got a Super Bowl on his resume.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with was Brian Flores going up for a job against Josh McCown. Josh McCown has coached at the high school level.
Yeah.
Not even college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not an OC, not a DC, a high school coach. To me, that to me is just
right. So
that's a shame.
So what? So again, let's take race out of it.
Right.
You have a woefully underqualified coach going for a job, which and you have a very qualified coach. Let's just, because if you took race out of that, there's only one candidate, right?
100%.
You can't have an NFL coach against a high school. That just does not happen. Right. And so ultimately, you know, from where we're sitting, from where I'm sitting, definitely there would not ever be a competition. And ultimately, I think that most people that I know, they don't want to switch places with anyone. They just want to be given an opportunity. So if you put the work in, hire those people.
Did you check? Is it 11 letters? Did you check?
Yes, of course. Yes.
No, and that's what it's all about. Yes, that's what it's all about. I mean, you're right. Opportunity, because if the roles were reversed, could you imagine a white head coach that's been in the league losing out on a job to a black head coach that has only walked the sidelines at the high school level?
First of all, you can't imagine that.
Wouldn't happen.
No, I'm just saying to you, that's not even a conversation. These things don't exist. So it's not even like a, could you imagine? Like, that does not exist.
All right. The only colors I want to talk about right now is the orange of the Bengals and the blue of the Rams. So I need your pick, because I'm really looking forward to this Super Bowl. I mean, I realize there's no Mahomes, there's no Rodgers. You don't have the bigger names, obviously, like a Brady.
Right.
I'm fine with these two newbies going at it. They've never been to the big dance. That's going to change on Sunday. Who do you got?
Well, okay. So if we're going to play this right, my assumption is I need to pick the Rams, right? If we're going to play this right.
I didn't say that.
No, but I'm saying to you, I'm a Raider.
Speaking of letters, the first few letters of assumption, we know what that is, right? So don't be that. You just give me your answer.
Listen.
All right.
I want to see an incredible game.
Okay.
Right? You're not a Bengals fan, but you're betting the Bengals will win. Is that what? Are you a Bengals fan?
Are you psychic? Or
I'm just asking you a question.
Call you Mr. Clear. You're right.
Right.
I am going for the Bengals.
Right. I'm impartial on both of these teams. But here's the thing. Just to be adverse to you, I want the Rams to win.
Okay.
I mean, the Rams is an L.A. team. It's close to the Raiders. You know,
L.A.'s got so much, though. Do they need another championship?
Yes.
What does Cincinnati have?
Nothing.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Cincinnati has...
you're a blue-collar guy.
Where? I'm wearing a blue collar, maybe. No, but I think that Cincinnati, it's clear that they've come from far in the last few years. And I'm excited to see these two quarterbacks. I'm excited to see how this is going to play out. And what I want to see is an incredible Super Bowl. That's it. It's
okay.
I'm probably looking forward to the halftime show more than I am the game, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's most Super Bowls. The commercials, the halftime show.
Yes.
The game, if that's good, it's just a bonus. But for me, I guess there's really no wrong answer. Matthew Stafford, all those years toiling in Detroit with a very bad Lions team.
Yep.
Now he comes here with a chance to get to the summit. Look at Joe Burrow. I mean, here's a guy that's in his second year.
Good looking kid, man. Good looking.
Worlds, good. Yeah.
Just a good looking kid.
I'm telling you.
So he's got Heisman.
He can play do the triple.
Yeah, dude.
Here's a quick stat.
And he's not afraid of nobody.
There has never been a quarterback in the history of the NFL to get the triple, in case you're wondering. That's the Heisman Award, a national championship, and a Super Bowl. It's been done by position players.
Right.
but never a quarterback.
But
he can do all of this in like a couple of years.
But imagine, in 3 years. But imagine this, right? Joe Burrow has a chance to do this on the year that the greatest quarterback retired. Like, it's almost like the change in the guard. I think that's awesome.
Randall Cunningham?
Yeah. Randall Cunningham? Is right. I think Randall played for Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Shout out my boy from back in the day with the Eagles. But yeah, no, I know. You're right. It's all coming together nicely. And I just hope, like you said, it's a good game. Yeah. I don't think we can get anything as good as the Bills and Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
That's going down as one of the best ever. But I'm hoping for a good game. I am with you. Let's move on. I know you've been waiting patiently to talk about your sport.
Me?
Yeah.
Never. My sport's every sport.
Yeah, well, we know where you made your bread and butter back in the day.
Right.
And that man Jacobs. Now, we've had the nice return of Christian Coleman.
Yeah.
Winning in his 18-month layoff.
Right.
Vacation. Race.
Vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
Jacobs, the layoff, not as long, but we haven't seen that guy since doubling up at the Olympics. Well, he was back recently, and here's what he did.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, it's a much better start this time by Jacobs, already very quickly into his stride. Jacobs powering away to what be another victory. Jacobs it is, 6:51. That's an excellent time here for the Italian.
Not about the time for me.
Right.
It's the way he did it.
Remember what I said to you last
week?
I mean, Jason and I, for all of you who don't know, Jason and I we were talking, obviously, offline. And I said to him, it's not even about this. You know, so Marcel Jacobs is the number one sprinter in the world. Let me remind you all. Italian guy. Black and Italian.
Yeah.
Yes, his dad's black.
Forget about that. The big thing, in 2018, what was this guy doing in terms of track and field?
He was a long jumper.
How do you make that transition?
Well, it's power speed, actually. So actually, the transition from being a long jumper the transition from being a long jumper to a sprinter is actually quite easy because your training.
For you?
No. The training is the exact same. The training is the exact same, and it's clear that what he's done, he with his coach, he's made the commitment one to get stronger, understand what it's like to come out of the blocks, and obviously he doesn't have to hit a board and take off.
I'm thinking the last 20 years, how does he not jump to try and get to the line instead of?
Well, clearly we know that he can jump, but I got to tell you this.
He's amazing.
I think that I'm very thrilled and excited to see what's happening indoors. I think that there were a lot of people. You might be included in this, Jason. A lot of people were surprised at what he did at the Olympic Games, right?
I would have given you 100-1.
Yeah, and those would be great odds because most people would be like 1,000,000-1. There's no chance that kid's going to do that.
Okay,
right. Yeah. So I'm saying to you that it's incredible that he's come back, and it's incredible what he did at the Olympic Games,
right?
And the fact is that he, I believe, is getting more comfortable. When I ran, indoors really didn't matter because indoor championships, even if you go and win the world indoor championships, it's still an absolute consolation prize. The prize is really outdoors. And Jacobs already went and is already the Olympic champion in the 100 meters. However, you see him getting really comfortable. So yeah, the time, you're correct. The time is completely irrelevant indoors. We know that Christian runs, he has the world record at 6:34. And Noel Lyle seems to be getting his legs under him. But I gotta tell you, Marcel Jacobs is a bigger, stronger guy. Bigger, stronger, faster. It's gonna be probably winner, right? And I'm looking forward to see what Marcel continues to do indoors. I think that, you know, these guys might or might not meet up because I know that A couple of the Americans, they really just kind of do indoors just to kind of test, you know, get the, you know, get away from the monotony of training, get out to a meet, see what the race legs feel like, you know, get a little bit of, get rid of the cobwebs.
So,
you know, so I just think that Marcel is on a path right now that's going to do some incredible things. So, although I don't think that he's going to be world indoor championships if he goes.
That was my question. To me, it sounds like you don't think this guy has a flash in the pan. You think he's legit.
I think he's very legit. Wow. I think you cannot have a cycle. Like, I don't only see the cycle last year
right
at the games. I see the cycle from indoors. I saw the cycle from indoors, and he's in Monaco. He's running 9.9. I mean, he was in Brussels. He ran 9.9. So it wasn't like he didn't fall out off the stadium seats, and all of a sudden he kind of go, who is this kid? Like, you actually saw a pattern. He wasn't winning, and so he might have been a close second, but you saw that he was gaining confidence every single time. And so I don't believe that he's a flash in the pan, but it's going to be very, very interesting. I don't know if he's going to run at the World Indoor Championships this year. But I do have a surprise mention if this kid goes to the World Indoor Championships. Who do you think it's going to be?
All I know is he impressed me last year.
Right.
Show it to me again. I wouldn't be surprised. I know you're going to give me a really crazy look when I say this. I wouldn't be surprised when we get on the big stage. He's not top three.
Ouch. Dude, he's number one. On the biggest stage already.
That stage
right.
wasn't a legit stage, in my opinion.
You don't believe that?
We were missing some people. Some guys just weren't at their best. I'm not trying to take away from what he did. You don't stumble into Olympic racing greatness. You know that.
Yes, but here's, again, I'll qualify this.
Okay.
In tennis, I understand. In boxing, I understand, because you are challenging someone. The pressure does not change in Japan because Christian Coleman's not there. It does not change. You still got to go through three rounds. First of all, you still got to go through the season. Then you got to get there and you got to go through rounds. Like, it's different if you are actually physically challenging someone. If you're out dueling a boxer or tennis. I look at the sprints always as how I look at golf. You versus the clock and pressure. You versus the course and pressure. So it's the exact same thing. So yeah, you might be right. And I'm not gonna ridicule you for that crazy ass opinion. But what I'm saying to you that you might be right, and you're certainly entitled to that opinion. I'm saying to you that this guy has the ability to be dominant. Right,
and I'm impressed. Don't get me wrong. I'm impressed with what he's done.
And we will see. We will see.
I just kind of feel like the stars aligned.
Right.
Everything just fell into place for him. No Jamaicans. Coleman obviously not there. Other guys just kind of, yeah.
Right.
It just kind of fell into his lap.
Listen, I got to tell you, he ran 980. He ran 9.80. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to the history of the Olympic Games, 980 would place him on the podium in most Olympics.
Valid point.
Right. So at the end of the day, he legit, he came out and he ran well. You know, I got to mention, Jason, though, the World Indoor Championships coming up. And there was an incredible, if you remember the semifinals that Marcel Jacobs was in, there's a guy named Su Bintang, the Chinese
yes.
sprinter.
Yep.
And he ran the fastest 60 in the history of man. And so, remember I said to you, I was going to give a special shout out or a special highlight. I don't know if Su is going to run the World Indoor Championships, but if he goes to the World Indoor Championships and he doesn't fold under pressure, because he's done that a few times at a big estate, speaking of, I think that he has the capabilities of winning the 60 meters at the World Indoor Championships later next month.
.. We'll end it right there. That is the perfect little pause. Give us a little something to gnaw on until we get together again.
That's right.
And Olympics, we're getting there. We'll hit that up next week.
No, oh, the next Winter week? Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Winter Olympics, not the Olympics.
I know you're a summer guy. I mean, come on, man. There's a little something going on in Beijing.
Yeah.
That we need to address, and we'll talk about that coming up.
Absolutely.
Right?
Listen, Canada's doing well. I mean, obviously the women's hockey team, and you know, there's some speed skaters and you know, some moguls. So
say bogul or mogul?
I didn't say bogul.
Because I know you like your
Benjamin
music.
Benjamin, I said bogul.
Hey, speaking, I always hit you with a lyrical question on the way out.
Oh, geez, man. What is it?
Teddy Pendergrass or Luther Vandross?
Ooh,
you can only choose one to give you a
Is this to listen to or to...
Well, to, whatever to the discipline...
To perform gymnastics. Which one is it?
To whatever discipline, just give me one voice.
Jeez, man. That's a tough one, though, because I got to see them both in concert, by the way.
Okay.
Man.
So let me simplify it for you.
Oh, man.
Teddy or Luther? Does that simplify it a little bit?
No, but I'm saying to you...
Give me one.
But listen, I'm trying to come with something.
Okay.
Teddy or Luther?
I'm going Teddy.
Depends. I'm probably going to go Teddy too. I mean, Luther gets you there, but Teddy cheers you on.
Fair enough. Hopefully we got you there on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Jason Portwando, Donovan Bailey, obviously with you. A big shout out and thank you to our friends at ACAST for powering another edition of this program.
Absolutely. Have a good time. Have a great week. Have a safe week. See y'all next week.
Later.